in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Following God's divine service, there is a study of God's Word just about every single Sunday, with some exceptions. Over the past 12 weeks or so, there's been a study of a book entitled The Fire and the Staff. It's a book that aims at conveying the extremely important understanding of practice and doctrine being inseparable. By practice is meant the way in which God's divine service is carried out. Processions are a practice. Confession and absolution are a practice. Conducting the liturgy is practicing the liturgy. By doctrine is meant the teachings of God's Word. So God's Word proclaims doctrine, and His doctrine, His teachings, are reflected through practice. The two are inseparable. If you practice a certain way, you are inevitably confessing something about what you believe doctrinally. It shows you how important it is that the way that you practice reveals what you believe doctrinally. Practice incorrectly, and you're conveying or confessing an incorrect doctrinal understanding of God's Word. Practice is exceptionally important. Why? Because God's Word, the doctrine, determines the practice. The procession of Paul's rite and the passion of our Lord is a commemoration by the church that rightly reveals, firstly, what God's Word proclaims. But further, this commemoration, this twofold practice, reflects how Lutherans believe, teach, and confess the truth of God's Word. The procession of palms and the passion of our Lord reveals both your flesh, just as those back at the time of Jesus in Jerusalem, and it reveals the real answer to the cries of Hosanna. There's a procession with joyful waving of palm branches, or in some cases, begrudgingly holding the palm branches. But the procession takes place just as it did back then, as the Word advents to be present among you. The Word back then was the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ processing. The Word today comes through the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Sacraments instituted within those Holy Scriptures. Now, some back at the time of Jesus thought that He was the King who had come to bring the new reign of the Israelite people back upon the earth, as if it was all about an earthly reign, as if it was all about health, wealth, and prosperity. Sadly, today, some still teach that Jesus only came for a similar reason. Some falsely preach that the whole reason for Jesus coming was to teach you how to live, to empower you to be better than the average Joe. And if it's falsely taught, then that means that some falsely hear and believe. My friends, this is a gross misrepresentation of the law sanctified. Don't fall for the WWJD thing, the what would Jesus do thing, which turns Jesus into law. Don't be led astray back into the way of looking at how you're doing in your works as if they measure up to Christ. Instead, in the hearing of God's word, be led to your true glory, but only by way of the cross, by the power of God's word at work. Be repenting and believing. Our Lord entered into Jerusalem the Sunday before the betrayal, before the thorns and nails, as a king indeed, but he did not come on a war horse in a great procession. He was not met by heads of state and dignitaries. He did not go to a palace or earthly throne. His kingdom is not of these things. Our Lord came in humility. He wore a servant's garb and was acclaimed by children. He rode that holy day to truly answer their cries of Hosanna, which means Lord, save. He came to fulfill his Father's will and to save his people from their sins. Jesus' suffering and death are called the Passion of Christ. Why? Because it's his intense love, it's his passion that drove him to the cross. The penalty for eating the forbidden fruit was death. And thus the king submitted himself to his own law. He breathed his last and died. He died for rebel men who acted on behalf of all mankind, men who mocked his royalty and his divinity, who thought they knew better than he as to what would make for happiness, who drank too much, who lusted with their eyes and told lies, who gossiped and were lazy, who desired vengeance upon those who hurt or insulted them, who stole and neglected their children, who pretended to be something that they were not. No, that's not you, right? Yet again, by the power of God's word at work, be repenting of your flesh and believing in the gospel. For you, Christ is King. For you, he came, he died, and he rose again. For you, there is no other help. There is no other hope. You have been struck down, deep in your guilt, and dead in your trespasses. But his love for you, the unlovable, is intense. His passion was to make you his own, to purchase you with his very body and blood, so that you may truly and only live under him in his kingdom, in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, of which you only have by faith in his merits alone. Faith and sight will constantly be at battle while you remain in your sinful fallen flesh. Glory is always the way of sinful flesh, for it's mainly your self-centered glory. avoiding any and all crosses. Our Lord's passion is not delightful to the eyes, but that forbidden fruit, which is always preferred. Christ's passion, though, is brought before your eyes in the hearing of God's word. It's unavoidable. The great uncomfortable switch is proclaimed through the two readings for today. One reading in which everyone doesn't mind being a part of. The other reading, everyone wanting to avoid. A procession, the waving of palms joyfully, the possible thinking that that is what it's all about. Just getting along peacefully. While a suffering cross, well, that isn't peaceful, it's offensive, and it should be avoided. Faith and sight, once again, do battle. But in hearing of God's word, the hour of darkness is brought to your ears. Where there is no goodness to behold with the eyes, there faith must stand alone. For by sight, you flinch that our blessed Lord Christ is being scourged, while by faith you rejoice in the scriptural truth that by his stripes you are healed. By sight, you recoil at the mockery in the purple robe and the crown of thorns. But by faith, you call this vesting and coronation of our Lord wonderful. The means and payment whereby he makes the kingdom of this world his own kingdom. By sight, you would weep over the splitting and the shameful ridicule in the false worship of him. But by faith, you see the spittle of his enemies as a trophy, and the bowing of their knees as an homage. For it is by Christ's passion that the very demons quake and lose the contest. Christ's passion is all about his love for you and the lengths to which he has gone to earn your forgiveness and rescue you out of death. Nothing could be more ill-conceived than to feel guilty about his death or to be sad as the story of his life and suffering and death is proclaimed, and then avoid it because you don't want to be bummed out. For he did it all to remove guilt, to heal wounds, to bind up hearts, and to bestow joy. He laid down his life of his own accord on purpose to set you free. He knew the cost, and he did it anyway. He wanted to. His crucifixion is his glory. For the crucifixion is where his love is meant to be seen by men, but believed and trusted by God-created repentant faith. His crucifixion is where he points all of mankind. For as he said himself, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Christ's crucifixion is your glory as well. For true birth comes out from his side. From your mother's wombs you came forth in water and blood, but from the side of Christ flows the birthing waters of holy baptism, in which you either have been drowned crucifixion. His passion is to make you a new creation by faith in his merits alone. Beloved of the Father, through the grace of the Son, a temple for the Holy Spirit. In his cross is your glory, and soon by faith you shall be fully joined in resurrection on the last day. So thus you embark upon the holiest of weeks, the most serious celebration, commemorating the institution of the New Testament in his blood, the destruction of hell and its power in his good and holy death, and the vindication of his kingship 1 week from today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Your king comes to you in love. Let the hosannas ring out, but in a confession of faith, for by faith they are shouts for salvation. Lord, save us. Indeed, cry out to the King of Kings.